Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Greetings, saints of God, and may the Lord grant you special favor tonight for joining us in our study of eschatology. You know, last week we gave a message on the importance of memorizing and praying God's Word for yourself and your loved ones. We cannot express to you how important and rewarding it is for those who make an effort to do that. So let us all incorporate at least one scripture in all our prayers as we ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's program.
Okay, and Abba, Father, we trust in you with all our strength, and we will not lean into our own understanding as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our path. We glorify you and humbly ask for your blessing tonight as we lift up to your throne the prayer requests that have recently been given to us, as well as the petitions of those listening right now, especially for the more severe ailments, and even more so, the salvations of our loved ones. May this teaching tonight be favorable unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, dear, for including God's Word. It's very soothing in a day when His bride needs to be comforted. So much turmoil going on around us. And you know what? Even if it's a minor thing, there seems to be a lot of minors, like boom, 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 one right after another. And I guess that's why you shouldn't just read God's words of comfort. You need to balance it out. We need to be students of His prophetic words as well. So you can really see why all the turbulence is occurring and will increase for such a time as this.
Right. Paul, you know, he did say often that we should not be ignorant of the prophetic.
Yeah, and Jesus, too, when he said, when you see the signs, know it is near. Not that there hasn't always been some signs, there has. But not fitting so accurately and in particular alignment with one very major event that really started the clock ticking down to the final judgment.
The wrath of God.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's only our generation that lives in the time of the symbol of the fig tree budding in Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the key that unlocks it all.
I think so. And, you know, Psalm 90, verse 10 says our lives, well, it averages about 70 years or up to 80 if you're really strong. But Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the generation that sees Israel, which is represented by the fig tree budding, or we interpret that to mean when Israel became a nation once again, you know, after the diaspora, when the dry bones come alive, so says Ezekiel 37, that those same people will see the end of the age. In other words, let me rephrase, there will be some still alive of that generation that was alive when the fig tree began to bud again, you know, like after 2,000 years, that will be part of the end time scenario. And if you are saved by His blood, the rapture soon awaits you.
So are you saying 70 years from 1948 or 80 years?
Well, in my mind, I believe it will be 70, because 7 is the number of completion till the rapture, and then another 7 for those left behind when He then returns with us after our 7-year honeymoon. Since, you know, in Revelation 19, we are called His wife in verse 7. So a wedding obviously took place in heaven right after, I suppose, He is crowned king over all the universe.
Well, I know many listening right now might not be familiar with Bible eschatology, so maybe after you update us on the news, since I know it's about Israel, we'll pick this back up.
Okay, great. Because I do have some news about Israel. Another dot that needs to be connected is, of course, that peace covenant to fulfill Daniel 9:27. that it says Israel will sign with the Antichrist, who Daniel 9:26 says will come from the same people who destroyed the temple in 70 A.D., which are the Romans. The only one alive right now who lives in Rome with major influence around the world, the peacemaker himself, is the Pope. Maybe Pope Francis, depending on God's timetable, or the next Pope, but it will be a Pope. And many prime ministers and presidents of Israel have bowed to and kissed the ring of a Pope. And actually, most world leaders do so. In case you forgot, about a year ago, actually this month, the Vatican signed a comprehensive treaty with Palestinian authorities, formalizing a past basic agreement between the Catholic Church and the PLO way back in 2000. In essence, it is a formal declaration of the Holy See's support for the creation of a Palestinian state and a peace process with Israel. Dear, do you have that quote over there from the Vatican's foreign minister from last year?
I do indeed. It's my hope that the present agreement may in some way be a stimulus to bring a definitive end to the long-standing Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which continues to cause suffering for both parties.
Okay, and that was last year. So the Pope has something in place. And now, once again, a peace agreement is in the headlines. And just yesterday, I read in the UPI that Bibi and Kerry will meet in Europe to revive the peace initiative. I think it's already written. Maybe just needs some tweaking, as they call it. As well, later this week, Israel's President Rivlin and PA President Abbas are scheduled to meet separately with EU foreign policy czar Mogherini. Then by the end of this week, the Middle East Quartet, of which the EU is a part, is expected to publish its reports on the peace process. So a lot of things going on. And according to officials who have seen early drafts of the report, it outlines steps that both sides must take to advance a two-state solution, including the cessation of settlement expansion and incitement. And substantial incentives are going to be offered to both sides to close the deal.
Yeah, but you know, if you read between the lines, the deal's already done.
Well, I agree. And by the way, Israel knows exactly what's going on. So we're just going to watch that closely, but that's pretty exciting.
Yes, we surely will. And I think you have some important news on Russia as well.
I do. Prime Minister Netanyahu and Russia's President Putin has decided and openly declared when they met recently in Moscow to deepen the military ties between the Russian and Israeli armed forces. It's amazing. They're going to start with a joint exercise this summer. And it's just going to be part of the first stage of an expanded partnership. It marks the first time in actually modern Middle East history that Russian planes and sail out of their bases off the coast of Syria for joint maneuvers with the Israeli Air Force and Navy. It's just quite historic. And this is going to help Israel become less dependent on us, the United States, the main ally of Israel, at least it was since its inception.
Which for us is heartbreaking.
I know, and very troubling. As we just learned, Obama has also recently opposed a needed increase to Israel's defense program.
So, why has Netanyahu joined with Putin?
Well, most likely for Russian protection that Israel has now been promised, actually, as part of this agreement on its newest gas findings in the Mediterranean. Remember, it was named after the biblical characters of Tamar and Leviathan?
Leviathan.
Yes.
Isn't that the name of the beast in Isaiah 27, I believe?
Yes, actually, it's the twisted serpent of the sea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyhow, in return, Russia will be permitted to help develop the gas fields for its major enterprise, Gazprom, which will be very lucrative for both Israel and Russia, who has promised Israel that no Arab or Muslim military force, such as those of Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah, would be able to attack the gas fields. So, Syria and Iran might not be happy, but they're tolerating it, maybe because they believe it just gives Russia more of an inside trusting leverage when the time comes to fulfill, you know, that war of Ezekiel 38.
A strategy sounds like Satan would use.
Ah, yes. And with that said, one can wonder if there are any secret components attached to the agreement, perhaps concerning maybe the Golan Heights?
No doubt it was probably discussed.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing to say is for us Clevelanders, okay, at the RNC, when we saw, actually when I heard that all protesters would need a permit to parade their signs, we thought, well, that's good. They are screening the peaceful groups. However, after reading an article yesterday in the newswithviews.com, our own Governor Kasich, who is a Republican in name only, by the way, or what they call a rhino, has been allowing permits to go to anti-Trump groups who most believe will start violence, and a lot of it. There have been 20 permits so far given, and none have gone to Trump supporters who will be there. But if you don't have a permit and trouble arises, those without permits will be held responsible.
This is not good.
I know. So anyway, let's move on. Can you tell the listeners how they can contact us if they have an end time question?
Yes, I can. Okay, by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please prayerfully consider any love offering which is needed and, of course, very much appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mail list for any news updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, that contains many teachings, especially on Hebraic Roots 101. And all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. Okay, let's get back to the end time scenario.
All right. Well, we left off mentioning that when we return with Jesus in Revelation 19:7, we are now called his wife. So a wedding occurred in heaven, which he calls us up with a shout of a trumpet. In fact, it's called the last trump, which is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah occurring every fall. This idiom is such an easy thing to remember. And I have taught this many times before, but it is so very important to understand at least just this one expression even from the first century that I'm going to go over it again. Because I was reading the other day a pretty famous Christian author, and he's also an end times teacher, who did not know this simple Hebrew phrase, and therefore he was giving different scenarios as to what the last trump of 1 Corinthians 15 could mean. Saints, knowing even a little of your Hebraic roots helps immensely. Okay, there are three shofar or trump idioms, and that's descriptive for three of the seven feasts. The three trumpets are called the first, the last, and the great. The first is associated with Pentecost. You ask why? Well, because at the very first Pentecost, which we read about in Exodus 19, you know, when they received the law, God blew the shofar for the very first time, and it was recorded in Exodus 19:16. You will see, if you want to look at your concordance, there is no trumpet listed, shofar that is, until Exodus 19. and it was a shofar, ram's horn, not a silver trumpet. So it took on the phrase, the first trump. And when spoken, always refers to Pentecost. Okay. Then there is the last trump. It's also a shofar and associated with Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because it celebrates the birthday of the world, but more specifically, it's the creation of Adam. And on Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year, 100 blasts of the shofar are blown. So when the last shofar is sounded, it essentially starts the new year. So the last trump idiom became associated with Rosh Hashanah, and it's used often, and especially it was in the first century. Paul knew why he was saying that, and that's why he added the term last in 1 Corinthians 15:51. That was the extra mystery that he revealed that he had not said in 1 Thessalonians 4, which, by the way, was written earlier than Corinthians, even though it's after in your Bible. But that's why studying is important. You check out these dates. But anyway, in 1 Thessalonians 4, he just said the trump of God. But later in 1 Corinthians 15, he adds the sound of the last trump. Why? Because it was a huge clue for us living in the very last days, for those who study. And here's the exact words. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery." Okay, it's a mystery. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Again, the last trumpet is an expression for Rosh Hashanah. They go hand in hand. And now you know it too, so share it. But let's go on. Okay, so the first trump is the Feast of Pentecost. The last trump is Rosh Hashanah. Now the next and final idiom for a shofar or trumpet is called the Great Trumpet and is always associated with Yom Kippur because of the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25 says to be sure and blow it on this day. So since the Jubilee year is questionable, they just always blow the great shofar on Yom Kippur. So with that knowledge, let's clarify Matthew 24, where Jesus gives a short overview of the seven-year tribulation. We see how he begins with the signs to watch for, which, by the way, match the six seals and the four horsemen of Revelation 6. So we know it's tribulation talk. Then in Matthew 24:15, which we know is in the middle of the tribulation, we see the Antichrist does his abomination of desolation, which means he sits in the Holy of Holies and declares himself to be God. Jesus then says, when you see that, flee down south to the mountains because the great tribulation has begun. And we know from Revelation 12 that they do run, and the beast, or called the dragon, chases them, but is stopped by an earthquake. So he turns back, and then scripture says, which is an eye-opener, it says he goes back to make war with the rest of Israel, who also have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is how we know all Israel is saved before the end of the first half of the 7 years. And since we know that it's the war of Gog and Magog that they recognize their Savior in Ezekiel 38:23, that puts that war in the first half of the tribulation. Okay, going back to Matthew 24 and verse 29, we see the second coming of Jesus returning from heaven. And in verse 31, which is now the end of the 7 years of tribulation, we read about the great trumpet sounding. That tells us Jesus returns on a Yom Kippur in fulfillment of that feast. It reads, "And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to gather his elect." So let me say it again. This is a huge clue that Jesus will return at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur to fulfill that feast as well. Since Rosh Hashanah would have been fulfilled 7 years earlier when he called us up to meet him in the air. Then we also see that it's the angels that gather up the righteous elect. And, of course, that's the sheep from the tribulation, like the 144,000 of the tribulation saints that make it through. The unrighteous goats are left for the judgment of the sheep and the goats, which we read about in Matthew 25. Saints, connecting all the dots means you must not take anything out of context and use other scriptures to interpret and confirm. Then knowing the customs and phraseology of his day is just so very beneficial. So now, when you hear someone use Matthew 24:31 to say we are here for the tribulation, explain who the elect are by showing them that even Israel was once also called the elect in Isaiah 45:4. Likewise, there is an elect during the tribulation. We are the elect now. There's another one coming. And then, of course, try to tell as many people as you can about the three trumps, the idioms. You can do this, church. And if enough of us speak up for these nuggets, we might have less of the false teachers teaching falsehoods. Let me add, too, that to deny a pre-trib rapture is to rob a Christian of the blessed hope. And as a consequence, you rob them of rewards because they are not anxiously waiting for him, which, by the way, is the only way we can get the crown of righteousness. It even reads in 2 Timothy 4:8. I'll read it for you. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's also read Hebrews 9:28. It says, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for deliverance. Now, your Bibles might say salvation, but the word is soteria, and it means for rescue or for deliverance, I believe, from the tribulation. Think about this important fact. The post and mid-tribbers are not looking for Jesus. Rather, they are looking for the Antichrist to come first. So their reward will not be waiting for them when we all arrive. A mid or post rapture is totally unacceptable and against what Scripture teaches. And you, who know the truth, need to defend it. Don't just be passive and say, oh, it doesn't really matter, it all pan out in the end. Come on, because it does matter for their rewards. But as riled up as I can get, we must keep a loving tone, but standing tall. Because, again, it is our blessed hope and a tremendous witnessing tool for the lost who, deep down, really do want to go to heaven. Show them the way to escape what's coming. Just say the prayer of salvation. Luke 21:36 explains all that. And, by the way, it doesn't say pray always. Always is not there. It just says pray, and that means pray the sinner's prayer, and you only need to do it once. But again, studying that, you'll see it easily. So what about you? You got to be sure that you have a personal relationship with the real Jesus. And if you're not sure, you got to begin all over again. Just get on your knees right now. Repent for your sins. Try to do that for individual sins. It's a form of deliverance. And then ask Jesus into your heart and just, or redo it if you've done it already and you're just not sure. But do it quickly while there is yet time. Okay, the Aaronic blessing. Yivarakaka Adonai v'yishmereka, Yair Adonai panavaleka v'yineka, Yasei Adonai panavaleka v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you, and he'll be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.